You trust me, right? Uh-oh. If I'd ask you to repeat something, just two words, you will, right? Okay, good. September 6th. Oh, come on, one more time. Lock it in your head. The first thing you're going to do when you go home is mark it on your calendar. Do you remember our parish discipleship retreat last year? I don't know how many of you were there. We had 520 people. And for those who came, a marvelous experience of just being community and God right in the midst of the community. Our theme was being the body of Christ. And over the year, we have done so many things to help us realize that the body of Christ is up there on the altar, but we are a community and we become the body of Christ. And so we had home masses, we have incensed people to make us realize that Christ is present among us. Our kids wrote, those people who cannot come to church, we send them cards to make them feel part of the body of Christ. We've had home masses, right? So numerous ways in which we have celebrated that. Now, I'm going to talk about the retreat at the end of my homily today, and I'm going to weave it into my homily. But this year, our theme is going to be, and it's coming straight from Pope Francis and his apostolic exhortation, discipleship, encountering Christ every day. So the parish council and our staff have been talking about this. The Pope invites us. I'll talk about that in my homily. But Dr. Sandra Yoakum from the University of Dayton is going to be our main speaker. And if you have been at RCI with us, she's fabulous. So and then we'll get together to talk about what it means for us to encounter Christ daily in our lives. I promise that it'll be one heck of a retreat. And I want to invite all of you to that. But September 6th, that's the date, right? So, cool. Today's gospel is a continuation of last Sunday's gospel. Jesus continues to speak in parables. And if you remember last week, the parable was the sower and the seed. This week we have three parables. The parable of the wheat among the weeds, very interesting. The parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the yeast in the dough. Now, because these stories are powerful, these stories make sense to us, it's almost easy to miss the point behind the parables. And the point that Jesus is trying to make is this, that the parables are about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we cannot forget that. It's a small detail. It's a very small detail. But the parables are beyond the stories themselves. They're about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Jesus, for example, in today's gospel says, I will open my mouth in parables. This is Jesus talking. This is no mean stuff. This is no little small matter. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has laid hidden from the foundation of the world. So the moment Jesus speaks in parables, you got to know there's something deep there. So what I'm hoping to do today is to talk about parables first in general, but then talk about what lays hidden behind these parables. First, the whole question of parables, and I'm really repeating something that I said in my homily last week. I was at St. Helen, and I did not get a chance to talk this with you, so I thought I will begin there. In last week's gospel, the disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak to us in parables? And Jesus replied, this is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Now really, that's counterintuitive for me. If people are not listening, I want to speak in a way that it's easy to understand. Jesus, on the other hand, does the opposite. He speaks in mysterious language. He speaks in parables. And he says it's because people do not see even though they look, and they hear but they do not listen or understand. What does that mean? This means that parables are not merely stories with a twist or a moral, but really parables are about a pedagogy. Big word, very simple meaning. Pedagogy means a method of teaching and learning. So professors in their classrooms or teachers in their classrooms have a pedagogy. They're teaching, but underneath the teaching is a method that makes the teaching and learning possible. Parables are about a pedagogy. And what do parables encourage you to do? Parables, by their very nature, invite us to look deeper. So you see what's happening with the disciples? The disciples take Jesus aside and they ask, what do the parables mean? So they are willing to go beyond the parable. And that's exactly what Jesus wants. He wants people to hear the parables, but then ask the deeper questions of life. Only to the one who is willing to go deeper will the mysteries of the kingdom of God be revealed. They are the ones who look but see. They do not just listen or hear, but they understand. And so, really speaking, these parables are inviting us to go deeper. So what's the practical implication of that? Folks, because of our technology, and because of our gadgets, and because of the apps, how many apps can you put on your smartphone? All these apps, we have to make a heroic effort to overcome superficiality. It's very easy to float. An average American spends between 1 to 1.25 hours of quality time on their smartphones each day. Quality time. This adds up to 9 to 7 hours a week, 240 hours a month, 2,816 hours a year. Quality time on the smartphone. Now you add to that our complicated lives. Is life easy? Between work or school, children, grandchildren, tough schedules. And add to that the emphasis on just consuming and being materialistic. Everybody wants us to float so that we don't think, do I need this stuff, or should I just buy it because I'm impulsive? It's easy to float. So we live in a culture where to go deeper is possible, but you have to make an effort to do so. And through the parables, Jesus is saying that take the time to think about the deeper realities of life. As Jesus says, in this superficial world, we can often hear but not understand, look but not see. So how do we enter into the deeper realities? How do we ask the deeper questions? Surely prayer. But not just saying prayers to calm my soul, but really meditating on God's word, giving silence its place. Spiritual reading. I've learned this the hard way recently. If I put some personal news about me, say my family, where I came from, I get any number of hits on Facebook. You put the gospel or something serious, you'll get 10, 12 hits. The temptation to float with the superficial is very strong. To go deeper takes time. So today Jesus is inviting us, saying, don't stop with the ordinary. Go deeper. The second question I ask is, if the parables are inviting us to go deeper, and if they are to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God, what mystery is being revealed through today's gospel? So I'm going to take that parables, the parables we have today, and just go a little deeper. So the parable of the weed and the wheat. It is such common sense when you are doing yard work to pull out the weeds and leave the good plants that you need. So common sense. God just thinks differently. And you have in today's first reading the mystery that is being revealed in this parable. And the mystery is that God cares for all and not just the worthy. Thank God. Today's reading says that is the ground of our hope. Folks, I am a priest, but I do not consider myself able to stand worthy in God's presence and say, "Dear God, I've done always the right thing, so I deserve to be saved." I do not have that confidence. There are weeds in my life. There are times that my day looks like a weed. I'm sure there are sins in my life. And God, the scripture says today, is one who cares for me even though there are weeds in my life. Scripture says, "There is no God besides you who have the care of all, for your might is the source of justice." Our normal experience is that people who are mighty can be unjust. But for God, God's might is a source of justice. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient towards all. God is lenient. This in spite of the fact that God has absolute power and might. In other words, God is not weak when God allows the weeds to grow among the wheat. God is not weak. The saying absolute power corrupts absolutely does not apply to God. God's absolute power, justice, and might make God lenient towards all, is what scripture says. By lenient does not mean that God says, everything is okay. No, what God is doing is giving us the possibility of repentance and accepting grace till the very last moment. And you see that mystery being lived out in Jesus' life. The parable of the weeds is really meant to counter the criticism that was being made against Jesus. People were saying he eats with sinners. He drinks with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Yes, because God, in God's might and justice, is lenient towards all, and he favors the forgiveness of sins and mercy and reconciliation. God is going to do that's part of God's nature, even though God is mighty and powerful. So people wanted Jesus to condemn the adulterous woman. They wanted Jesus to hit the tick and strike the first stone. He does not. They wanted him to refuse to eat at Zacchaeus' house, but he eats there. They wanted him to pull his feet away from the woman who was washing his feet with her tears, and Jesus allows her to do so. This is the mystery, that God is mighty and awesome and glorious and powerful and just, but it makes God even more kind and more merciful and more generous and more forgiving. The parables of the wheat and the weed, and folks, look at your lives. I look at mine and I see that I'm a good guy. I think I do many good things, but then there are weeds in my life. I can be prejudiced. I can be harsh. I can discount people. I can judge people. There are weeds in my life. What do I want God to do? I want God to slowly, gradually transform me. I want God to be so powerfully present in my life. So, I'm sure in your life you experience similar things. Whoever has ears ought to hear. This is God. Thirdly, I want to talk about the two parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. What is the mustard seed? What is the yeast? These two things, small, represent the human heart. Each mustard seed is a human heart. Just as a small mustard seed becomes a large bush, and just as a little yeast affects the entire dough, so can the human heart. If the human heart can connect with the heart of God, if your heart can connect deeply with the heart of God, then your heart, like the mustard seed, is as big as God's heart. And if we do not connect with the human heart, with God's heart, then our heart is as small as our fist. That's it. Our heart is as small as our fist. But let that heart connect to the heart of God, and you have a heart that is as big as God's. Just like a little yeast affects the entire dough, one person in this community can affect all of us. That's the capacity of the human heart. And this is why, and I'm coming to the retreat right now, this is why Pope Francis, in the very first apostolic exhortation, this is what he writes. He says, I invite all Christians everywhere, at this very moment, look at the urgency. He's not saying do this at the retreat when you go home. No. Now, every moment, in this very moment, to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The human heart needs to connect with the heart of Christ. The heart of every Catholic needs to be intricately connected, intimately united with the heart of Jesus. That's what the Pope is saying. And if you don't, the Pope is saying that we are missing out on something that is basic to our faith, of our life together as a community. So he's inviting us to stand face to face with Jesus. I mean, this is Carol sitting here. I come often in the morning, I say goodbye, you know, good morning to people. I shake her hand, I give her a hug, and I say, Carol, how are you doing? I look into her eyes. The Pope is saying, do that with Jesus every day. Connect. Folks, our heart, this is God's gift to us. This is God's dwelling place. It cannot survive on its own. It's as small as our fist. But God says, look at the possibility. You connect with the heart of Jesus. And what is the capacity of this heart? This is why in our discussions about what the coming year should be, we said from September 2014 to September 2015, we are going to focus on encountering Christ. Not, you know, in those glorious ways that we hear about, but really every day, every day. How can you and I stand face to face with Jesus every day? That's the crux of the retreat. And I think together as a community and as individuals, we can do this, because not only the Pope, yeah, Jesus is inviting us in today's gospel reading. Jesus is saying, please, go deeper. Don't float. Let us ask the deeper questions. Let our lives have meaning. Let our lives have purpose. Let it come from Christ. So, this retreat is on September 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you, those of you who know in the past, there is no cost to this retreat. You have the retreat t-shirt being made right now. I've already composed the hymn for the retreat. It's a beautiful hymn. Lunch is provided. But then, we have somebody fabulous talking to us about being face to face with Christ. Dr. Sandra Yocum from the University of Dayton. I mean, I know her to be a very theological woman, but also a deeply Catholic woman. And so she'll talk to us about what that means. And I will, as usual, be present as well during the second talk. But I think it's a great opportunity for us as individuals and as a community to grow. So August, the beginning of August, you will receive a letter from me. Every parishioner will get a letter. If you're not a parishioner, you have two options, sign up. Or there will be registration cards in all the vestibules. Anybody's welcome to this retreat. Last year we had 502 people. This year I'm hoping we'll have 750 people. We want our community to stand face to face with Jesus. We want all of us to connect with the heart of Jesus. Not that we're not doing it already, but in a new and deeper way. So, I think that's the parables of the weeds and the wheat, connecting with our God, who is all mercy and love. People of God said, Amen.